Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN. Las Vegas.
Okay, John, right from the top and no mistakes. We're rolling.
The Chiefs responded to the Vikings' score by returning to the strategy. Oh, now, let's take that over again. Not even the wizardry of Fred Biletnikoff, your bastard name there. Let's take that over again. Men like Eyescheid and Buhler. Buhler, you son of a bitch.
Sorry, I get giddy with John Facenda. And especially when he goes, he wasn't quite Casey Kasem with his
long distance death dedication,
his reads during his top 40 when what do they put, what happens, what kind of g-damn song do they put next to the death dedication that he got all freaked out?
It was a great moment.
Get Don on the phone. Where's Don? I told him. How many times have I told him?
It's up there with O'Reilly snapping during a read too.
I mean, well, that was, I don't know what the hell he was trying to. I think he was trying to go to break or something, and then just
do it live.
We'll do it live. But yeah, the great John Facenda, even with bloopers, and I don't know who Buhler or Buhler was, but apparently he was a son of a, you know what, or his name was. Yeah. Even Biletnikoff, not easy to say. Not easy to say. I don't think John, to my knowledge, reading up on John Facenda, was more of a, I think he was more of an opera guy, was really not an NFL or football fan.
Yeah.
So he'd be reading these names, and it's like, what? Who?
Who's this? Dan Marino?
are we gonna get more outtakes from John Facenda?
Never heard of this guy.
All right, well, this hour is about all football. Is it? NFL especially.
Is it?
You never know. But also about tempers.
And pizza.
And I have a feeling there's gonna be some screaming here. I think we're gonna disagree on this one. I don't know, where did you find this video? What show is this?
I don't know. Somebody actually, I'm in so many like group Instagram chats now,
yeah,
where it's just sharing, you know, reels and videos, just nonstop. And I just happened to be awake this morning, and I saw this, and I just sent it to you immediately. I was like, we have to do this on the show. Not because of the tempers that are shown, which is great, but more the actual concept of what they're arguing about.
Someone text in what show this is once you hear it. 702-364-1100. It's our Findlay Kia text line. It's Adam. It's Cofield. Griffin's back in our studios. We're here at the Battleborne Broadcast Center. Again, if you need advice, you need help especially, call up Battleborne, Justin, Matt, and the rest of the crew here. I don't know why I'm doing 702. 766-1400 is the number. 766-1400. Okay, I'm going to set this one up by saying we've got a previous history with this. And the subject is, and we've talked about shareable foods. We've had big discussions on nachos. You have a nice-sized group. What do you do with the nachos?
Sure. And especially because there is always like that one nacho that has everything on it and ties everything together, and then somebody takes that one. A, it collapses the rest of the nachos.
Exactly.
B, now you're taking like all the toppings onto your plate.
Yeah, who controls the toppling of Nacho Mountain?
Yeah. It's important in a group setting.
I think most pizza discussions,
we also, by the way, we also have another history with this.
What is it?
Which is where, when I saw this clip, I thought it was going to where our previous history was.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed course a little bit. But our other previous history beside nachos would be a garlic bread fight.
Yep.
Which happened in San Diego with our good friend, RIP Sports Pig, where we were at an Italian restaurant. It was in Pacific Beach. We ordered
Philippines on garnet, maybe?
Yeah. We ordered the garlic bread, which was 6 pieces of garlic bread. There was 3 of us
You got to describe it accurately, because it's a little bit different than just 6 pieces scattered on a plate. It was actually in a pie form.
Right.
There were 6 slices, triangle slices. Only 6.
There's 6 slices. There's 3 of us.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of math to be done.
We each get 2 garlic bread slices.
Everyone gets 2.
Yep.
This is obvious. You're at a table with 3 people. There's 6 slices.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets 2. Now, the sports pig had 3.
No.
He had 4. I was trying to make it better. He had 4. We each had 1.
Yes.
And we pointed it out, and we're like, well, there was 2 for each of
what
us.
What just happened?
And his response, I believe, was, I'm not doing math. Like, well, there's not really math to be done. It's 2 for everyone.
That one was easy.
But that's where I thought this discussion was going.
A pizza sure. with eight slices can be a conundrum if there's three people there.
Right, but in this case, there's only two.
And that's we got to get more information on this. But can we start it out by – so you got these two guys, three guys in the end, who are working at a used car dealership. And they start yelling at each other, and the accent is, you know, my God.
It's guys that would eat pizza.
Yeah, and they both look like they're, I don't know, 5'6", well in excess of 350. They like pizza. And apparently there was a violation. I think this was an 8-slice rectangular pizza.
Yeah.
That's my take here. 8 slices, 2 guys. There's a lot to get into, but man, they were raging.
You're right in front of your 4 slices.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So I ate this corner.
He ate that one first.
He ate this corner.
I ate this one.
Right.
He ate that one.
Yes.
Right. I ate this one.
Yes.
Right. He skipped that one.
Maybe I didn't want them. Maybe I wanted the corner.
He skipped that one.
Yeah, I went to the corner.
Stood up and took mine.
Oh, I didn't stand up button because if
he reached across,
I grabbed the corner.
And he took my slice.
Okay. The rage at the moment where he's like, stood up and took mine. I was like, what is going on? Okay, you got to explain. I don't know what the hell happened with the 8 slices because I think the basic first of all, they're at a two top, right?
Sure, they're sitting across from each other, which is the proper way to sit at a.
Of course, the two guys aren't going to sit next to each other in a booth. Okay, it's a two top rectangular pizza. Is it sideways? Is it landscape or is it portrait? I think it's portrait.
I'm thinking it's.
I think it's long ways.
It's long ways. So there's basically, it's cut down the middle. It's rectangular. So there's 4 on each side.
Right.
And the suggestion from guy A is basically, look, it's cut in half straight across.
Mm-hmm.
We each have 4 on our side of the table.
Yep.
Those are your 4. And the other guy says, no, I get 4. It doesn't matter where they are. I get 4 slices. I can pick from wherever I want to pick on this pizza. I feel like guy A is right. I think it's the 4 in front of you. I don't think you reach across to take one from the other side.
Mm.
Because in this, it's perfectly done. Now you both get 2 corners, you both get 2 middles. It's kind of set up for you. Now if this guy's like, now I'm taking my corners, and I'm taking your corner, now I get 3 corners. What if I like corners better? I've only got 1 corner.
There's 4 corners and 2.
So each guy would get 2 corners and 2 middles.
Okay, you're right.
But yep. if you're like, not like corners, I'm going to reach and take your corner.
Like a 4-corner grab, I think would be a violation. That's over the top.
But taking he's going 3 corners.
Taking a different corner, I don't think is that big a deal.
I do.
This guy does. Fire this.
You should have ate the pizza on your table.
I could take it.
No, you
it's
can't.
Mine.
That was yours in front of you.
You're wrong.
You chose
you
that
took
side.
My half.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You took so now I want.
Stay on your side.
You can't. You're pissed.
Stay on your side.
You're pissed.
It's not proper pizza etiquette.
What do you know about etiquette?
There you go. It's not proper pizza etiquette. What do you know about pizza etiquette? Guy B, who you think is in the wrong, claims that guy A already reached over to his side, but it wasn't a corner, but he grabbed a slice on his side. Yeah. Now all bets are off.
Yeah. I think if it's...
If I want to grab the corner
no.
across from me, and the guy actually said, I don't think we ran the audio on this, the guy actually said, that was a smaller corner over there.
Yeah.
I wanted that one.
Because the neutral, there's a third guy that you hear his voice there, and he's like, well, are you just grabbing the biggest slices? And he said, no, I actually reached over to grab a smaller one. But to me, what he's insinuating is he took a corner instead of a middle because he wanted a third corner. So he's like, it's smaller than the other one. Yeah, but what if I like the corner? It's already set up. Now, look, if you're sitting there in this situation and you want to say, hey, I prefer the corners.
Yeah.
Can I take that corner? So then I'll have 3 corners. You have 3 middles. It works out better. Is that cool with you? I'm okay with at least asking.
A little courteous.
Yeah, I'm okay with asking.
Would have helped.
But I think we're all insinuating when we have 4 each that are on our side of the table, those are our 4. You take the one closer unless you have a conversation about it. Maybe that guy wants all the middles and you want all the corners and we're good. But until further notice, no, because I'll tell you another thing. Not necessarily pizza, but like with a lot of things, like I like to eat the food in a certain order. And I think one of the guys might be like, you know what, I like my corners first just to really jump into it. Then I want to go with the middle.
Right.
And so I'm leaving the middles for last, or I'm leaving the corners for last because I like that to be my last slice. But now this guy's going to take the one that I'm saving in my mind for the last slice.
Pizza etiquette 3. Fire this one.
It's You're wrong, Mario.
Oh, come on. I understand you're both upset over the great pizza caper here.
No, I'm
but
not
let's
upset.
Relax.
And then the dramatic, like, hellfire's coming. Dun, dun. The great pizza caper.
Now I...
Oh!
I mean, of course the guy's name is Mario. But the... I do think that there could be a caveat. I still think it's for the four in front of you. But you know those the pizza trays that spin? Now there's potential. Now maybe we're onto something in terms of if it spins.
Seen a rectangular.
Yeah, like the it's like a the silver platter thing. The silver platter sits up on the table,
right.
And the top of it spins.
Hmm,
okay. I've seen that. Now if you're on that, I think it's different. But I think if it's just a static tray in the middle, you go for you go with your four that are in front of you, unless there's a conversation. There's got to be a conversation.
No!
Especially you don't stand up and reach across the table to grab the other guy's pizza.
Not Mario, but the other guy. Okay. I don't think it's Luigi. He seems really fired up, and he doesn't seem afraid of confrontation. Why not just address the issue
at the time?
Oh, time.
I have a feeling they did. I think they've been arguing about this all night.
Oh, that's yeah. I think probably, they. You're right. We need a mediator.
They had the argument at the table the night before, and then they argued about it in the morning. And then now they're like, all right, now there's a third guy here. He can be the judge of what's going on.
I do want to know the name of the show because I might want to watch it now.
It's pretty solid. The Great Pizza Caper.
Yeah, Tony says corners rock.
See, now if you're with him. Maybe you're like, hey, do you want?
I'm not married.
All the corners.
I'm not married to corners.
Yeah, exactly. You and was this person the Tony?
Well, the texter, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you and Tony can have the pizza together, and then you go middles, and he goes corners. Now we're solving problems.
Kumbaya.
But you don't. You're not going to reach over and just grab a middle from Tony's side without asking him. I think it's a legitimate argument that has to be had.
We did.
Well, they did. We did.
702-364-1100 is a text line.
By the way, I know you like to
Kia text line.
I know you like to go through through my tweets sometimes for content. Did you see I posted a pizza dilemma last night?
What was it?
A group of people went to Blaze,
right?
Or a local pizza place where you design your own pizza.
It's fine, yeah, sure.
And I posted all four and said who did it best.
Oh, really?
And I think it was I'm biased, obviously, to feel like mine was the best.
Oh, you shouldn't have told me one was yours.
No, I didn't.
I won't be able to guess it.
I didn't post which one was mine.
I'll do that in the grab bag.
I put them up there.
I'm not going to just do it willy-nilly here on the air. I got a little thought during a break.
And I didn't get into the details. Obviously, one was cauliflower crust, which does change, but I think you're just judging on what the actual pizza is, not what the crust is. I think there were some tough choices.
So speaking of that, did you see what Josh Jacobs said?
About trying to recruit Devontae?
No. About the culture with the Raiders.
I mean, it wasn't good.
What he said or the culture
of
the Raiders?
The culture of the Raiders, I don't think it's surprising.
Well, he's still very bitter about being asked to make sacrifices for essentially what turns out to be mediocrity. He said, coming from Alabama, I went to a championship every year. I was there. I remember coming to the league and losing my first game, and I was mad and not talking to nobody. A vet came out to me and was like, this is the NFL. You're going to lose. He said, so y'all cool with losing? Because it was so different.
Yeah.
But he, as they were losing and being mediocre, he's like, I'm being asked to not make the money I think I should. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, he had the exact quote last year, yep. I think, in one of my stories.
This goes back to the crux of the matter with Josh Jacobs and the Raiders, and you and I said repeatedly, for people who are picking a side, I think you're both wrong, because I think they're both right.
Yeah. And I
don't think, the winning losing thing. Like I know, listen, Josh Jacobs has been affected by this. It's monies that he could have made in a long term deal. I don't know exactly why. Well, I do. The NFL overuses young running backs who are good, spits them out, and then the rest of the league responds like they've been spit out and they're useless. And again, I mean, hey, yay, Ramondre Stevenson, right? He's had one really good year out of three, but he doesn't have all the tread off the tires that Josh Jacobs has. And Ramondre Stevenson just signed a deal with the Patriots for $17 million guaranteed. So it's more than that. And Josh Jacobs has $13.5 million guaranteed. And that's it. He's on a one-year deal four times over. And that's a prime example of the way they treat guys. Ramondre is young, but he was in a system where he didn't get as many carries and wear and tear, and he got hurt last year. Josh Jacobs was reliable, mostly productive, and then he gets to his money moment, and they're like, the whole league. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We're going to treat you like you're 35 years old. Like, wait. By the way, now I don't have it memorized. I think the gap between Stevenson and Jacobs is like 17 days older.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But on the whole, but on him saying, hey, the Raiders, I don't know, the word respectful, right? They weren't being respectful. Like, but I understand it from the Raiders side. But I would also be pissed if I'm the player.
Of course. And I think one of the things to Josh Jacobs' point when he said that, and I guess in this case he's making it about the Raiders, but last year when he talked about it, he made it about the NFL instead of the Raiders in particular. But it's, you have to learn how to lose in the NFL because he didn't do that in college. He's like, losing wasn't acceptable. It never happened. You couldn't lose one game. In the NFL, everybody loses. And it's a different mindset. It's a different mentality. And he really struggled with that as a rookie to try to get into that. But I think the fact that it stretched out and losing became all too common really wore on him. It did affect him. And he did have trouble adjusting to that. And then when you add on top of that, not only are we going to lose, but by the way, we're not going to pay you fair market value because now, you know, you've been through, you know, five seasons of wear and tear on your legs. Now we're not paying you.
They said, then the most frustrating thing about it all, you got me, Tay, and Max. You got guys to come in every day and work hard, and you don't get the results. You'll be close every year, but we're not winning. And you want me to come back on a discount and lose? Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. And in there, he's not ripping those guys, but Devontae is compensated, and Max is compensated.
Yeah.
With long-term deals, Josh Jacobs is not and was not.
Yeah, it was totally fair. And by the way, he didn't get some massive guaranteed long-term deal with the Packers either.
No.
So it's not like he went out and found exactly what he wanted on the open market. Now, he did find a place where they should have some success and they should potentially win, which might take a little while here in Vegas. But it's not, you know, this is not just about the Raiders in this case. It's about the entire league and how they see running backs and how they see a guy that has a lot of carries and a lot of workload like Josh Jacobs does.
Over under season rushing yards is posted for Josh Jacobs, 950.5.
Over.
Really? You think he's going to be like 80-20 carries, 50-50, 60-40?
I think 70-30.
And you still think he can get 950?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I think that offense is going to set up well for a lot of yards with so many teams focused in on their passing game, and I do think they want to use Josh Jacobs quite a bit. I think they're going to give him the ball and keep teams off balance, and I think they spread the field really well, and there'll be more running lanes open for him.
He is projected, if you go by the betting numbers, rushing and receiving to, let's see, rush for 950.5 is the number, and then over under season receiving yards is 275. So his total rushing receiving is 1225.
Might be a little tougher. Josh Jacobs is a very capable receiver, but I don't know how much they're going to use him in that.
I've seen suggestions that, like, hey, we're going to use him more, and especially in the red zone, because did he not have a receiving touchdown in his entire Raider career? I thought I saw something along those lines.
That might be right.
Yeah. By the way, Zamir White. So you're trying to Josh Jacobs, you know, good running back. The league thinks, well, not great, right? I mean, that number 1225 is pretty good. Total yards. Zamir White rushing over under 800.5.
Yeah, I'd probably take the over.
Receiving over under 225.5. So 1025. I'm not with you entirely.
I don't know about receiving. But rushing, here's the thing. Four games last year, who's the starter when Josh Jacobs was out? He averaged 99 yards per game. I think that they are going to try to give him the ball a lot. I don't think he's going to play a lot of third downs, but I don't think he has to. I think he's going to be more of a first and second down running back that gets the ball a lot on the ground. And I think they do want to give him a lot of carries and make him a bell cow guy this year in terms of, you know, the running game. I don't know if it's going to be this massive season. I don't know how many touchdowns are going to be there, but I also think this is a team that very well could play a lot of like 10-7 games, a lot of 13-10. And I think they want to keep the ball on the ground and keep it close and run the clock and rely on their defense.
That'll make Devontae happen. Or happy.
Yeah, sure.
A win. Sure. A win.
Well, he measures on greatness, not wins and losses.
Yeah, I thought that was a little interesting, the way that was phrased. And he said it multiple times. Well, on Zamir White, 800.5 rushing yards. Who's going to steal carries?
Alexander Mattison.
You think a lot?
I think he'll play some third downs in particular. And so, you know, Dula and Dylan Lobby, I think they want to get involved a little bit too. But Alexander Mattison is, he's not here to just sit on the bench and, you know, not do much. He's still fairly young. He's still got a lot in his legs. I think he's going to be used quite a bit. Probably not as much as, I mean, definitely not as much as Zamir White, and probably not as much on first and second downs. But he will be used. He'll be utilized, and he'll get his share.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, Cofield & Company here on a Monday. Let's do a giveaway. 4 tickets for any day the rest of the way. Summer League, NBA Summer League is here through the 22nd over at the Thomas & Mack Center and the Cox Pavilion. You can get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com. 45 for adults, 35 for kids. You get up to 8 games per day. 4 tickets good for any day. Griffin's going to hook you up. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7, 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
When's your first availability, Adam Hill, with the Raiders, where you get a chance to talk to Devontae and get his reaction from his portrayal and what they put forth in receiver?
We'll see. I think players are available for the first time on the 24th of July. I don't know what day Devontae will speak that week, but probably around that time.
You think there'll be enough time to have it all kind of settled down? You know, before that, Raider Nation has reacted how?
I haven't seen much.
Is it kind of a split deal? Or are they mad at him, or are they mad at the Raiders?
No, I haven't seen too much. And I don't think people are necessarily seeing it the same way that you and Justin were discussing either. Devontae, most of the stuff that was said was just clips of him saying it last year publicly.
Right.
It's all the same things that he said.
But we don't. Not everyone's watching what you're watching. You're around it all the time.
No, I know.
So when it's put out on a stage like that.
But I think people that are hardcore Raiders fans are watching the press conferences and that thing and seeing it, and especially the "I don't measure by wins and losses, I measure by greatness" was very, very widely circulated last year. And he tried to explain it a couple times. He tried to explain it on the show, and I think some people still don't get it. But most of the stuff he said, I think people agree. And I think most fans are frustrated with the losing too, and they kind of agree with a lot of the stuff that he was saying because they don't want to lose anymore.
Watch it. If you haven't had a chance to, it's on Netflix. Receiver, it's really interesting. Stories about Kittle and Debo, Monra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, and the Raiders' Devontae Adams. I think there's less fluff in this one versus quarterback. Or maybe in the second half. I've watched, I think, 3.5 episodes. Okay. Second half run, or is there a lot more family stuff?
Yes, there's a lot. I mean, well, the first Devontae appearance of the whole show was the birthday party, which I thought was pretty interesting, too. I think there is a lot of family stuff. There's a lot of it goes a lot into Amon-Ra St. Brown's relationship, actually, when his – I don't remember what part it is that you're on, but his dad talks about he was around the school where Amon-Ra was when he was in high school, and he saw some girl wearing his jersey, and he was like, you are not to be around my son. Get away from him. I don't like you.
Really?
And it turns out, like, it ends up being a fiance or wife. I'm not sure if they're married yet, whatever. And she's talking about that story, and Amon-Ra's dad said, well, I was wrong. She's great. Love her. It's pretty good. There's a lot of that stuff, I think, that goes on in the second half. And then the last two episodes are basically just the NFC Championship and Super Bowl. So pretty much the Devontae stuff done after episode 6.
If you're looking for all the Major League Baseball stuff, Home Run Derby is over live right now on Raider Nation Radio 920. So if you're a big Home Run Derby fan, turn us off right now. Get over there. All-Star Game is
there a lot of big Home Run Derby fans out there?
I haven't really watched one in years. I saw highlights last week of Sammy Sosa blowing up wherever the hell it was, but just bombs.
Also,
well, you were watching Home Run Derby over the weekend. Was it fascinating watching Jose Canseco?
I liked it. It was fun. Look, if you want to hear the Home Run Derby, go tune it in and also listen after we're done. Home Run Derby on the radio.
All-Star game tomorrow, 4 o'clock on Raider Nation Radio, 920. So we get a little Nick Saban story coming in. All-Star game. I checked that. SEC Media Days. I have All-Star game on the mind. SEC Media Days. Do we find that story funny? That Nick Saban had to go get his credential out of his car. The security didn't let him in. I know you love these security stories.
I love it. It's great. It also sounds like it was like an older woman, which is just hilarious. I think he said it was somebody's grandma. Didn't let him in.
Right.
Didn't let him into the media center. I mean, I do love these stories. They're great. But I do wonder if he told it in a lighthearted manner where he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You don't know if deep down he's like fuming, like, I'm Nick Saban, let me in. I think he was cool about it, though.
Don't you think his intensity level has been turned down since he's been away? I think when you're a coach, you're kind of in – some people are in coach mode all the time. Some people are actually nice who coach college football.
Yeah, Barry Odom.
I mean, Nick Saban is the guy, and I don't know if it was his doing, but there are stories I don't forget. And I was thinking – and the locations are different, but you remember Bathroom Gate with Nick Saban, 2012 SEC Media Day?
Was that when people weren't allowed to go?
Yes. Multiple reporters urinated on themselves and shat themselves.
I don't know if that's true.
That's my hope.
Like, they had to just go find another bathroom.
Nick Saban went to the bathroom when he was a coach of Alabama. He went into the bathroom and his security team, I'm guessing a couple of Alabama State Police, basically shut down. Bathroom and like, Coach Saban's in there, no one else can use it.
Well, I'd assume it's because he was not wanting people to be around what he was doing.
He had to be going number two, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it had to be a full like Jim Irsay.
That's not what Jim Irsay wasn't doing. That we don't.
He
think.
He may have been. We don't know. He could have been doing that and other things.
Doubtful. Don't attach. Now you're going overboard.
It could have been like Jim or Jeff Daniels, or no, was it? It was Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. No, sorry, it was Jeff Daniels. Sorry.
Yeah, bathroom gate. They shut down the bathrooms at SEC Media Day. No one could go in, and there were some people, including myself, who were like, "You're a college football coach. I'm allowed to urinate next to you. I'm not going to check you out, bro. Relax."
I think they were doing it for the benefit of the other people. Like, that Saban is just notorious for just blowing up a bathroom. They're like, "You don't want to be in there."
Do you think there was a legit fear that there were fans around and they would have like bum rushed them in the bathroom
or videoed?
Oh God, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
video not so much back then. You're right, 2024. Maybe it's the right move.
Yeah. Somebody selling audio to TMZ of Saban just destroying a bathroom at a SEC Media Day.
You're going into the bathroom. You got to go through a security check. Turn your phone.
Yeah,
it's just easier to shut it down. Go.
I think so.
There's another bathroom down the way.
I applaud them for doing that.
So this is crazy. Mountain West Conference, another football coach is at least gone for the season, which means another new head coach. Jeff Tedford at Fresno. Fresno is the third choice in the conference. They have a great offense returning. Their offense is great every year, but they actually have a quarterback who's got experience at the helm in Mikey Keen. And had he not gone down last year, maybe they win the conference. They have a really good running backs back. They've got a Vegas kid behind Malik Sherrod. They've got a defense that could be pretty good. It wasn't great last year. You know they always have the small receivers, right? Well, Jalen Cropper was not small. He was just super fast and 6 feet tall. But they've usually got the 5'7 to 5'9 guys who are running crossing routes, and it's wild. So freaking fast, and you know, short passes they can take the distance. Now no Tedford. Jeff Tedford, the head coach. Saying that, you know, bad checkup recently, and he's going to have to miss the season. The interim is actually going to be Tim Skipper, who has had two stints at Fresno as a coach. He played there. He's the head coach. So who is Tim Skipper? Former linebacker coach, then DC for a little time under Tony Sanchez.
Yeah, so UNLV ties. You know, certainly a guy that's been around the program, been around Las Vegas, and good to see him get an opportunity. Probably not the circumstances he would have preferred, but he'll take on a team, if they stay intact, that is pretty decent.
What are the expectations now for Fresno?
Well, I think we'll have to see what happens with the players. As long as the players are still there, I would think you don't have to change the expectations that much.
Right.
It's a big if, though.
Blake Anderson, Utah State, on leave, probably out. That happened about 3 weeks ago. Fresno now has a new head coach. I want to go through the schedule here in a second, but can I mention last week, we talked to Nate Dreiling, the new Utah State head coach. That was the weirdest interview I've ever done, going in and even during it. I'm like, I don't know what to ask, because he kind of disarmed us. I think he joked about it before he came on. Maybe I'd mentioned I'd been to Logan a bunch of times. He's like, well, you've been there more than me. And I'm like, wait, what the hell's going on here?
Well, we, you know, grilled him about being the best dressed coach at Media Day.
Yes, and then he joked, basically, he had to step up his game. Because, but isn't it, wasn't that, that was a weird, that is a weird interaction, because you're like, you want to talk about the football team and the culture, and like, he's, he was the new DC brought over from New Mexico State. He's barely been with the program. He's like, I, you know what? I don't know. Yeah, he's like, I don't know what we got.
Literally haven't met an offensive player yet, so I don't know what to tell
he
you.
He said.
He was in Ireland, right?
Yes.
Is that what he said? And they called him and said, hey, do you want the head coaching job? And he's like, okay.
He was in Dublin, and he hadn't ordered food yet.
Yeah.
And they called him, and they're like, hey, you want it? You're going to be the guy. And he accepts it.
Okay, cool.
I appreciate that he had a good sense of humor. Thank God he did, because you could have some hard ass there, like, well, of course we're going to win. Like he joked openly. He's like, I mean, yeah.
Hopefully our guys stay.
Don't really know Logan. Yeah. Can't really talk about that. Yeah. We'll I've see. Barely been there.
Talk to some people about the weather there.
But that, I mean, it's in a situation like that, that's almost the only choice you have. Is to, from an optics standpoint, to go, hey, you know, he's here, but he wasn't here.
Yeah, because if there's issues in the program like there was there, you have to try to find somebody that's an outsider, but not anybody that is completely outside. And he was as good as they can get in terms of, I'm not diminishing what his accomplishments are, but I mean, he was in the program for only a couple months. He wasn't a part of some of the systemic stuff going back, but he was at least around and easily transferable over into that position.
So I remember saying on multiple occasions after the UNLV football season was over last year, the next couple of months, and everyone's all fired up. You know, they win 9 games. They go to a bowl game. And I almost immediately said, I know they're going to have better talent next year. They'll probably be a better team on the field. I don't know if they can match their win total. Now, a lot of that – and that was without even, like, really knowing who they were bringing in, and they hit a lot of home runs with some really good high-profile transfers and adding more depth. UNLV football did. Barry Odom did. But that was without even knowing what was coming down the pike on the transfer portal. I was just looking at the schedule. I'm like, they swap out some games here for some very tough games. And they won a lot of close games last year.
Yeah.
They had some crazy comebacks. You know, Air Force was right down to the wire. And they came up big. Now, Fresno on the flip side was right down to the wire. They couldn't execute. Yeah. And we know the Vanderbilt game is one of the wackiest games you'll ever see.
Crazy.
That was a loss.
Yeah. And now they
– And they executed.
Well, yeah, they turned it into a win.
Yeah.
And now they have two Big 12 road games in non-conference.
They have two Big 12 road games, and they've added one of the Pac-2 teams to the schedule, and it's a better program in Oregon State, and that's on the road.
Yeah. Not easy.
That all said, should UNLV fans be – very bullish, like almost overly optimistic. Their win total 7.5. There's a heavy lean on the under. Adam, Tedford being gone on the heels of Blake Anderson means their schedule, and I'm going to call Spencer Danielson a first-time head coach because he was the interim. Their schedule has 10 new head coaches. The experienced guys are Lance Leipold at Kansas and second-year head coach Timmy Chang at Hawaii. Or is it third? Whatever it is. Those are the experienced guys. Everyone else is a new coach, including Syracuse, who got added to the schedule. Fran Brown, new coach.
So they've got 10 coaches they have no film on?
Now, the flip side is those DCs, in most cases, have also – they have film on the go-go, but they haven't faced it yet.
Sure. There's the film.
So who's it advantage?
I would say it's a disadvantage.
You think it's a disadvantage that they're facing a bunch of first-time head coaches?
Yeah, because I think in general, facing a first-year head coach is fine. They don't have their program built yet. They don't have the systems in place. They're doing a lot of work just to get up to that speed. But if you have two or three of those on their schedule, that's great. You're preparing for them all off season. Now you're preparing for 10 coaches all off season you've never seen before and don't know what they're going to do.
I would say it's advantage UNLV. Danielson proved he's pretty good last year. But I don't know. San Diego State's one that I'm completely – I have no idea what Sean Lewis is going to do. It was a weird deal at Colorado. They're retooling. Like, I thought that was crazy. Not crazy, because they're going to have to retool their personnel for a new defense. They're not playing the 3-3-5 now for the first time in, like, 18 years.
Yeah.
So expectations, even with all the new head coaches, they stay about the same because there's – advantage, disadvantage on both sides.
Yeah, I think it's about the same amount of – I don't think it's a net gain or loss on in terms of that just because there's so much – and Barry Odom talked about a little bit about that last week too when he was around Media Day just saying, yeah, we're the whole offseason, all we're doing is trying to catch up on who these people even are. And that's an advantage UNLV had last year is that people didn't have film on that.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore.
Everybody's element of surprise is out.
Yeah, everybody's seen it.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield on the way back. Good conversation we had with one of the Raiders running backs. We mentioned him just a few minutes ago, Alexander Mattison. That's up on Cofield and Company.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, Matterhorn Injury Lawyers here on a Monday in their fabulous studios. Let's go into the bag and actually grab a good conversation, a good interview. Nye Zaragoza, who's been doing a lot for Cofield and Company, grabbed Raiders running back Alexander Mattison. He's had a big summer, and part of it was bringing awareness to mental health. And this part of the conversation starts about bringing that awareness to mental health issues is very important to Mattison. Why?
For one, my own battle with mental health when I was in college, without knowing what mental health really was, without knowing anything about like what the resources are, what methods of positive mental health practices I could use to combat that, just kind of going through it and coming out on the other side and seeing there was a player by the name of Tyler Alinsky, he took his life. And seeing that after I was going through what I was going through, it let me know that I needed to be someone to advocate for mental health, because not everyone can get through it without resources. Not everyone can get through it because I almost walked away from the game. So I understood that not just for athletes, but everyone in general, they need that support. They need that emphasis. They need the resources. They need the knowledge. And so it's been a part of my journey to make sure that with my foundation, everything that we're doing, I'm not just doing it with my name, with my profession attached to it, but something bigger than that, that can live on longer than me. And so that's part of it, is we want to make sure we introduce these young kids, because through studies, the age of 18 to 25 is the most stressful stages of life, and the suicide rates are higher. So we wanted to make sure that these young kids that we're impacting through our camps, we're not just changing their lives with some fundamentals on the field, but giving them life skills and giving them resources to help them succeed when they turn 18, 19, 20, because you see there's a lot of promising athletes who might not make it because of an off-the-field decision or they go through a rough patch in life. But if we can teach them those skills before that comes, then it helps. We are actually in the process of like a whole rebranding and website and stuff. So it's going to be IamGiftedBrand.com, where you'll be able to find everything. Right now, a lot of the information is on IamGifted.foundation on Instagram. And then we also partner with AthletesForLife.org, where all of our camp information is there and a lot of the stuff that we do. And there'll be a lot more to come. We have an initiative called The Rush to Give that we do throughout the season. So we're getting ready to gear up for our back-to-school drive here in Vegas and also back home in San Bernardino as well.
Alexander Mattison, one of the newest Raiders playing running back. I am gifted. So go check that out. Yet another cool charitable deal that the Raiders and their players are tied into.
Yeah, and I've talked a little bit about Alex since he came here earlier in the offseason about this. It's incredible what his foundation does, and he's – not somebody who has a foundation and just kind of cast it aside and doesn't know much about it. Like, he's very involved in it day to day. And you heard how how passionate he is about it, how much it means to him, and why it matters to him.
You're not going to play this college football game anytime soon. Are you going to have to wait about a week?
Yeah, I'm just like I said, I have to jump back in with. I have to purchase the system.
Oh boy, you're going to play it for a month. You got a vacation coming up, and then you're going to Costa Mesa for the Raiders.
If I buy it, I'll be buying it there.
Oh wow.
Or buying it here and driving it down with me and taking it. I mean, I'll have a lot of free time just hanging out around the house in Costa Mesa, so that could be a good time.
You won't be on the beach?
Not much. The house isn't very close to the beach.
You won't be jetting up the coast, which, by the way, I don't think Manhattan Beach is very close. That's where our buddy Arash is. But you guys seem to be at odds last week, so I don't know if you're going to be breaking bread a lot.
He'll probably be in Vegas.
He's a Vegas guy.
He's really not.
You're more of a California guy.
I'll be finding some stuff to do for sure. But I know there were some, some people in the media were like, "Oh, I can't wait to go hang out on the beach for 17 days." And you're like, it's not. First of all,
vacation
camp is like, camp is kind of hard in terms of work.
Yeah,
and also
maybe not for them.
What media person is staying by the beach? Like, we're way far inland. Yes. It's crazy.
EA College Football player rating: Ricky White. I don't know what any of these numbers mean. I think it's what?
It's about 100.
Up to 100, right?
Well, 99 is really
overall 89. Speed 91. Strength kind of weak. 65. Agility 90. Acceleration 93. Awareness 88. Breaking tackles not that high. 72. And what's truck? The ability to run people over?
Yeah, just run them over.
Really low. 57.
Well, I mean, he's not the biggest dude.
No, he's not.
I mean, I think the numbers, I think, you can work on a little bit. You can maybe a little faster, more elusive, and his catch skills, but they're pretty high.
Freddie Coleman leading into us was playing up the angle, which isn't always safe for guys our age, Freddie and I, about your video game playing experience, because you're really going to date yourself.
Yeah.
And Cole Kubelik went to Auburn, offensive lineman there. Now he's been doing SEC on ESPN, and he's doing a local show in Birmingham on The Jock. They were asking all their guests, what was your video game? What was your big experience? Maybe your favorite experience of your life. For you, it's probably be something that's coming up when you're close to 50, right? You can always play video games. You got a little ways to go. Cole Kubelik said Tecmo, and then he went on like a 90-second dissertation about all the details of Tecmo, which I think Freddie then bailed on that one. I don't really think he knew what the hell was going on. He said, don't play the Raiders in Tecmo. They're only a one-player team, Bo, and he can only run one play.
No, you just give him the ball however you can.
I don't remember also him being only effective on one play.
Well, he has the special play, which we always called bread and butter. That was like the...
Who's we? What do you mean?
People in my group that played
okay. Bread and butter.
Bread and butter, and somebody even made up a song. When they would call it, and you just couldn't stop it. It was bread and butter, and you'd be like, okay,
I'm assuming when you had the Raiders and Bo, and you had someone you could really tweak as you were destroying them, that bread and butter was saying a lot.
Sure, but then
was that a Gooch? Was that no. For Gooch?
That was more Madden days.
He'd break the freaking controller.
No, that was Madden. Gooch threw a chair through a wall because I learned how to use hot routes before he could figure out how to defend them. So where you can just get to the line of scrimmage. It was like, I think, Madden 96 or 97 that they first came out.
He threw a chair through a wall.
Yeah.
And now I hear he's like, I don't know. He's like,
different person?
He's like, leave it to Beaver Dad.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Just wearing a sweater every day and just slippers.
Literally threw a chair through a wall.
That's awesome.
Because I was Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss against him. And I would just line up. And then if he played press coverage, I would call go route, and if he played off of him, then I would just throw a hitch, and just couldn't tackle him, and he just literally couldn't stop me. Threw a chair through a wall.
The SEC analyst also, he gave a compliment to Howie Long off the edge.
Well, the key on Tecmo was Jerry Ball, which you wouldn't let people beat Detroit because it was unfair. It was a glitch in the game.
Jerry Ball defense, you get upwards of 150 sacks in a year. Yeah. This guy was claiming that the Giants of those days were unstoppable. You could just power people.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, the Raiders were the cheat code.
He said Raiders overrated. So another guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's unbelievable. I'll have to get Cole on so you can argue with him.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, for housing the show. Give him a call, 766-1400. For Griffin, Adam, Cofield, we'll see you tomorrow at the Summer League.